Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, one day late and not a dollar short, apparently.
A couple of dollars short on silver and a little bit of a market correction, but otherwise lots of interesting things happening on a worldwide basis.
So there's big news, by the way.
What happened?
Apparently they shot Osama bin Laden.
Where'd you hear that? Come on.
I don't know. You don't really – it's not really in the news.
I haven't seen it. No.
They've been trying to – I guess they've been downplaying it. I haven't – you know, you can't see it much, but it's a fact.
It is all over the place, and it gets a little confusing with the Osama and the Obama and that whole – I don't know how they keep it straight.
It's funny because I noticed that Fox goes out of their way to spell Osama with a U because everybody keeps saying Obama and Osama. I've heard it – and in fact, there's – I think somebody did a comedy act or a bunch of clips showing where people kept saying Obama, Obama instead of Osama.
Oh, boy.
It's quite funny.
Is that the right spelling, or what is,
you can actually it's in Arabic, so you can spell it all kinds of different ways. But I've seen it spelled with a U before, Usama.
Mm.
So
you know, they talked about in the news that they're not releasing the pictures, the photos. They buried him at sea, They shot him in the head. They said, I thought that was kind of interesting how they did it. But also, he was unarmed, and the reason that they didn't just capture him was because his wives were putting up a struggle or an argument.
Because they were kvetching.
Yeah, well, right. What, he can't go? He hasn't had breakfast? Where are you taking him? He's done nothing wrong.
Okay, never mind, lady. Boom, right in the head, yeah. Right in the eye.
So they found what? The compound had no internet, no phone.
No, it had plenty of internet. It had plenty
of
phone.
No, they said there was no phone and no internet.
No,
and that
they changed it two or three times. No. They had phone, he had internet, he had satellites, there's a bunch of cell phones in the place. You know, this story is just, you know, it's just like 25 versions of who cares?
Were you disturbed at all with all of the celebrating that went on?
Oh, yeah, well, everybody was. I mean, everybody I was what? Definitely. It looked like a high school or, you know, a bunch of high schoolers just finally won a football game.
Right.
You know, so they're number one now. I mean, all it was missing from all that celebrating was a foam finger.
Where was
the guy with the rainbow hair? You know,
that's right, exactly.
Where was that guy?
Yeah, exactly. So what? You know, the thing that disturbed me was that we were so bent out of shape over here when everybody was celebrating about after 9/11 and all the different various terrorist acts that happened around the world. When the Libyan guy, the guy was returned to Libya because he had cancer, but then he had 3 days to live. Apparently, he's still alive, and that was a couple of years ago. So now we're celebrating, and how does that look to the rest of the world?
Well, it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't jumping out. I wasn't over there making a scene. It was just it seemed like a lot of kids and very few adults, just like unemployed kids.
And then Dick Cheney even seemed to have said, you know, patted Obama on the back for, hey, great job. And I mean, it's a major issue. But, you know, if it was so difficult for us to find him because it was so much secrecy after all these years and with all the intelligence that we have, you know, you would think that they were smart enough to put out a succession plan, right?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, maybe. Whatever the case, we have a lot of thoughts about the whole thing on the No Agenda show, which will be running tomorrow morning.
Well, so now the world gets all excited. The futures went up when the news came out on Sunday evening. It went up almost 1%. The next day, the market's open. Everybody is just happy. I don't know how that changed the financial picture at all. I don't know what that did to anything.
It didn't.
I think it didn't. But I think, you know, eventually the punk drunk markets got wind of, hey, wait a minute, nothing happened here. And they just started coming down. And that was like the peak of the recent market.
Yeah.
And they've been down ever since.
Well, maybe it's the beginning of the end.
Oh, boy. There we go. The end is happening. Well, Portugal, good news, yesterday reached a 78 billion euro or 116 billion plan that would bail them out to reduce the country's biggest deficit. Of course, don't forget, this came after them very, 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 very adamantly telling everybody that they did not need a bailout. Read my lips. We do not need a bailout. Now they're getting $116 billion.
I keep getting different numbers.
Well, it probably keeps going up.
Well, it's bouncing around quite a bit. Some interesting bond plays, obviously, with some of these countries.
Yeah, I mean, the bonds are collapsing. They're the Greek yields are, I think, at 20-something percent at this point. Portugal's all the way up there. Italy's up there. And then you have, you know, all the little things in and out. But at the same time, nobody seems to matter. The Portugal thing, they need a bailout. The markets just plod along. The euro goes higher. It hit 149 yesterday, the euro, or today maybe. You know, it's very good.
I'm not sure.
It's crazy. It bounced up a little bit, but not that much. The yen is starting to move up again, which is encroaching on that $80 level, which will probably invoke some intervention talk again by the G7.
One thing that's kind of been overlooked, and it's not on your list either, which is the what happened in Canada.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, talk about that.
Well, the Canadians have their parliamentary system is interesting because every so often they get, I don't know, dissatisfied with a party, and then they pretty much destroy them. The Bloc Québécois, which is one of the – it had 50 seats in parliament last session, now only has like 3 or 4. And it looks like it's now done. It's through. And the Liberals, who have always dominated Canadian politics, seem to be on the outs. I mean, they're borderline being wiped out. It's very, right, strange, very strange.
And then the whole government turns over, and then there's a whole new deal that comes in.
Well, actually, right now, the Conservatives, who were running the show since, I think, for the last few years, now have a majority. So they're in solidly for the next 4 years based on the way Canada does things, which is a good thing. And it seems as if there's this up-and-coming party, this new Democrat Party, which is essentially, if I look at it from an American perspective, it looks like a bunch of communists, to be honest about it. And that's what destroyed the Liberal Party, because apparently the Liberals were so, many of them that were just middle of the road, were so freaked out that this NDP was going to take over that they all voted conservative to stop them. It was just basically a blocking action. But it's an interesting, people should look into the, look into the, what's going on in Canada. And there's a lot of good material online.
I think one of the things that really set them off and what really was the last straw was, and why they just couldn't take being called America's top head anymore. it was enough, you know, and you know, they were tired of people now copying their medical system, and
you know, they have the NDP wants to raise the corporate tax rate, which I believe is like 20% or 18%. It's half of what ours is, more or less. And so a lot of companies are just moving to Canada and starting setting up shop there, which is what's triggering the Canadian, it's kind of a mini boom going on there while we suffer, and so this new, and it's going to continue for the next 4 years. But this NDP party wants to gouge the, soak the corporations, and
right,
the Canadians seem to know better. Anyway,
well, this is what happened in Ireland. I mean, Ireland over the years became the technology hub of Europe, because they had such a low tax. It's kind of like Delaware, right? You know how everything's in either Delaware or Vegas. There's all sorts of good rules for corporations there.
Yeah.
Well, Ireland had a very, very attractive tax rate, and that created a massive technology boom in the day. And, you know, it ended up turning on their heels because of overspending and overdoing it and not taking in enough taxes, you know? I mean, it reached the point you need to possibly increase your taxes, and corporations are still over there. So, but I think, you know, when you look at the world and you wonder like what's going on with all the different regions, I think probably the headline that I saw today was the most disturbing and probably one of the most incredibly unbelievable headlines of all time. And that was simply that Denny's is going to be raising its prices 1% this year.
Wow.
I mean,
I'm not going anymore then.
That's it. It's all over.
It's too expensive.
The Grand Slam, what is it going to be? Instead of $349, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be $370? This is outrageous. And what about those Mother Butler pies?
Actually, $349 would be $349 plus about 4 cents. So,
4 cents. Yeah, that's a good point there.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Oh, I'll go then. That's all right. Anyway, so you know, with all the pricing going up and all the pricing pressures and all the things that you see, like coffee at an all-time high, that company I love.
Oh, no, you're going to bring them back into the conversation.
They got to be brought back in the conversation.
Green
Mountain Coffee, the unbelievable, most incredible company in the whole world, apparently, which has all sorts of little accounting problems that just seem to go away, which, you know, does deals with Starbucks, but maybe not. And then they do, and then they don't, and then they do. And then what happens is they come out with their earnings. And again, you know, you wonder, there's a lot of shorts. We're not short, but there's a lot of shorts that have played against Green Mountain.
Yeah, and you tried a couple times.
Yeah. We'll get our face smashed a couple times and then say, you know what, that's enough. And they come out, the first thing that comes out last night is that they have a 7 million share offering, which usually is dilutive to shares, and it usually will push down the price. And who knows, at that point, short sellers may say, oh, they're doing that right before earnings, and oh, man, so maybe they'll get in. Well, then they halt the stock, and they come out with earnings, and they blow the doors off of earnings, and the stock is up like 20% when it reopens.
Wow.
20%.
Obviously, out to screw the shorts.
Yeah, obviously. That's like Netflix. There's a few companies like that. Netflix does the same kind of thing, their CEO. And clearly, Green Mountain. There's a few companies that got into the rhythm. They know when they're heavily shorted how to play the game. Clearly, coming out with that first foot forward of a share offering, and then, you know, then you have this halt, and then you can't do anything when you have this number come out, and the stock gaps open like humongous. I mean, you wouldn't think you'd make that much money from coffee with all the pricing issues right now, but they have some special coffee. Must be, you know.
Must have some sort of extra whatever in it. Yeah. Interesting.
So silver was smacked. We'll talk about this. Silver for the last several days has been under immense pressure. The CME has increased margin several times, margin requirements and initial purchase requirements for margin. And as a matter of fact, yesterday, they did it again. And then today, they did it twice in one day. One effective tomorrow, one effective on the 9th. So silver, I think they're pretty much done for right now. The margin requirements have gone up substantially. And so silver has plunged somewhere around 20-something percent over the last week. And what's really kind of fascinating about this is now all of a sudden – we have all the folks coming out of the woodworks. You know, Soros has been selling for a while, and this one, and Carlos Slim has been hedging out. CNBC is now CNBC is all over it.
Oh yeah, after the horse is out of the barn.
Yeah, the horse is out of the barn, and it's collapsed out of dehydration. And so I don't know. You know, we'll talk about this in a minute. You know, we talked about this last time about my pick was a short on silver.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, Pick of the week. We're going to change that around. 1 week later, wait till you see what the number looks like when we get to the end of the show. What do you think about this Renren situation?
I don't know anything about it.
Well, it's the Chinese
Facebook. Right. And it apparently came out of they just came out with the stock issue. I don't know what happened.
It actually did okay. It didn't do as well as you would think it is would have done, you know, with something as called the Chinese Facebook. You know, like Baidu is the Chinese Google. And they have two times the valuation of Facebook, which is pretty hefty, right?
I would think.
A little stretch there. And then what happened was that a couple of days ago, there was some concerns raised. You know, all these – we talk about these reverse mergers and the accounting practices and all. And all of a sudden, we find out that there was – some of the accountants involved were some of the accountants on some of these reverse mergers. And there was some – if you read through the IPO prospectus, there was some deficiencies – and material weakness and all these different things that were in there that was – a lot of them were normal, but some of them were questionable, and they really pounced on this. And all the Chinese internet companies like Sina, Sohu, NetEase just flopped. Hmm. So that put some real cloud of concern over Renren. And then I think one of the financial guys even resigned right before the IPO. And the other thing is they even confirm that they don't have people with knowledge of the U.S. Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, GAAP, and it doesn't understand how to do cash and managing treasury functions. So therefore, they're saying they're not even equipped to understand how the U.S. market works, even though they're coming out with an IPO. So their IPO came out. It did price at the high end, and it actually was up 20% today. You know, it opened, it gapped open, it came down, and then it was still up at the end of the day. But we'll see how this plays out. But it's kind of a little bit there's way too much negativity on all these, and we'll see if any of this pans out.
Hmm. What's the symbol?
R-E-N-N. They don't know how many actual numbers they have. Their counts are off, supposedly.
The
they don't know how many.
$18. What did it come out? What was the IPO price?
I think it was four. I think it priced at 14. It was as high as 19 and change.
24.
Oh, 24? Really?
That's what it says here. It says the day's range is 18 to 24, and it's closed at 18.01.
Yeah, it must have spiked right up to 24
at
the open.
Yeah, the end of it.
Trended down. We'll see. I mean, if it gets past 24, it's where you want to look at it again. That's usually how these IPOs work. If it kind of opens and goes high, you always want to buy it after that high point. Even though you say, well, if it's going to go there, why don't I buy it at 18? We don't know if it's going to go there.
Right.
You might as well get it in the right point.
Might as well short it.
Yeah, I don't know if you get short at this point. I wouldn't short any of these. Anything that's called a Chinese Facebook, I'm not shorting.
Yeah, probably a wise decision.
You know? and then I want to talk to you about this whole the Apple effect. They are like the weed whacker of the technology industry, it seems. I mean, you look at what's gone on with Microsoft complaining of the earnings that they were hurt due to tablets. RIM was just looked awful with the black – I mean awful. And you have a variety of other –
they just did a deal with Microsoft.
Who?
RIM.
Oh, it was – the deal was that they're going to put – how lame. I mean, this is news. News. Here we go. Newsflash. That they're going to put Bing on their phones as their default search engine? Woohoo! We need that whistle that you have. You should do that now.
Oh, okay. Say it again.
Yeah, this is the big deal that we have, the Bing search engine is going to be on the Research in Motion phones. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. Like, woohoo! So I don't know. HTC's earnings, they're the big one that does all the phones. Really cool Android phones. They were also coming under some pressure. And so, you know, Apple in the last several days has held its head up incredibly well. And I think I told you about this rebalancing effect. It's over. All that selling pressure that happened over the last couple of weeks is over at this point.
On Apple?
Yep. It should be over at least. Yeah. When you had it was a mandatory rebalance.
Yeah, I think it's going to go over 400.
Yeah, I mean, it's our largest position in our portfolios.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, no wonder you're promoting it.
I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying that what I see.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not short Research in Motion. I'm not short Microsoft. But Apple, I'm incredibly impressed. I know that sounds kind of like, oh, is this new news? It's not new news, but incredible how much they're just ripping from everybody else.
Yeah. Now there's a deal that Apple announced that supposedly, which is a rumor, and I actually talked about it on the X3 show that I do now, which is x3show.mevio.com for people.
Wait, back up. What is that? What is X3? What are you, like Triple X?
It's three guys. Diesel? Yeah, it's three guys, one topic. And we talked about the Apple situation and the fact that supposedly they're going to have Intel. I think this is a bogus rumor, by the way. I think Intel is doing very well for itself, but I don't think they need this kind of aggravation. That Intel will be taking the job away from Samsung to manufacture the ARM chips for the iPad, which they don't have a license to do, so it doesn't seem likely. Because you just can't make anybody else's chip.
My understanding is this came from Intel. This information. That
really?
They are,
you heard that they made this rumor? They sent this rumor up?
I understand that. Well, I don't know if they started the rumor, but my understanding was that Intel is trying to make inroads to make the chip. That was all. And it was where I read it.
I think
was that
I can't believe this is true. They would not in Intel is so full of pride that in a million years they wouldn't make that ARM chip. What they would try to do is try to push Apple into one of their chips or even
that's
a custom.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying, that they're going to come out with their chip for it. I don't know why would ARM do anything like that? It would only pump. Why would that happen? That's just stupid.
It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
I like ARM, by the way. It's a company that I should put on my hopeful list.
That's a great company.
Yeah, it is.
ARMH. I think Intel came out with a 3D chip today, or some discussion about a new chip.
They talked about a new technology, which is 3D transistors, which stand up off the substrate as opposed to being flat and two-dimensional.
Wow, that was so technical. Just the word substrate. I like that. That was neat.
It's like the floor.
I understand.
So
so Apple did, and last thing about Apple, they came out with a new iMac, which is AMD is the chip, new Intel chip, blah-de-de-blah-de-de-blah, faster, better, wow. So that was just the big announcement the other day.
So ARM is looking like, ARM looks like a reason, it has a couple of dipsy-doos, but for the most part, it looks like it's an upward trend.
Yep. Let me pull that up while we talk.
Like it would have been nicer to be in on it back in March, April, May of 2010, because you'd have a three bagger because it went from $10 to $30, but which means it's probably, I don't know, it could go to $90. But
you know, I'm looking at this and I'll tell you something interesting. I'm looking at a chart right now. Couple of things. I'm looking at a daily chart. It's been a little bit wild lately. 31 to 23 is its recent range. Then it goes to 32 and comes down. Obviously, the last couple of days the market was a bloodbath. Now, it didn't look like that from the Dow and some of the numbers and all, but I'll tell you something. There were some technology stocks that were taken to the cleaner and not for any apparent reason. Energy stocks were just obliterated. We're talking about 5, 6, 7% for 2 days in a row. I mean, just
any
awful.
Any stocks that stick out you can think of?
I mean, look at this. This went from 38, 32. This is down 10% in 2 days.
Yeah.
It was down as low as 27.5. It hit its lower Bollinger band. It went below its 50-day, and it popped right back up at the end of the day on huge volume. But if you look at, a variety of stocks. I mean, you can look at, the F5s. I think that one kind of came down. It was up at FFIV. It was at 111. Now it's at 100 again. That was after some great earnings that came out. You look at some of the chip companies were a little bit roughed up, but the smaller kind of I think the CRM get roughed up too. Let's see, yeah, all these guys 142 down to 132, and it was down to 128. This is the last like 6 days.
Yeah,
I mean these things just got obliterated, and there's more that just got hammered. But, you know, what's happening right now is a bit of a reallocation trade, it looks like. So, you know, risk is off. The dollar is questionable and is starting to rise a little bit. You know, silver falls, the risk trade comes off, and then it's just outright selling across the board. But we'll see. I mean, the big concern is, you know, this debt ceiling situation. You know, is it going to happen? Are we going to get this done, you think?
Is it good or bad?
I don't know. I mean, if they don't do it, it's bad.
Yeah,
if they do it, it's bad.
They're all full of crap. They just keep doing it. They're not going to not do it. There's going to be a few guys that won't do it. They won't vote for it because, you know, they actually would get voted out of office if they, because they promised that their constituents that they would do it, not vote for it, that is. And so they have to stay put. But for the most part, the Geithner guy comes out and he whines and moans and groans that we're all going to die if, you know, you don't do this. And so the next thing you know, they all reluctantly agree and they'll have some bogus excuse for it. And yeah, no, it's just going to be bigger.
So
when will it end is the bigger question in my mind.
Well, let me ask them. So you watch C-SPAN a lot. So you know when they do those counts and the yays and nays? Do you think the guys that don't want to vote yes wait till the end? You know, those stragglers that are coming in, they want to make sure it passes, then they vote?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that. It's a scam. So ConAgra really it looks like a breakout. What's going on?
There were some great numbers due to the food in their the food numbers. What is that? CAG. Yeah. Food based. Oh yeah, look at that. That's a beauty. That was earnings today, I think, or yesterday, last night. Yeah, that's a breakout. Yep, above the 24.50 line was the perfect breakout. Now it's it's on 3% higher. But there was good earnings, and they said a lot of their seed and their food and all that was really required. It was, the population of the world is getting – listen, I just studied this with my son, and I think it was Mathis was an economist back in – wait, what year it was. And he said, you know, basically that there's a limited amount – this is before Darwin. There's a limited amount of food, limited amount of earth. The species will live until they exhaust their food supply. This is the reason why we have open season on deer, right? You know, if we don't, they're going to multiply and they're going to all die. Or they're not all going to die, but there's not enough food. Well, the same thing's happening here with the human race. Population. I'm not saying there's anybody culling it, but, you know, there's a population expansion. There's only so much food. And this year we had all sorts of crazy things happen. Yeah, we had the droughts and all that. But if you look at the price of, like, corn's like, sugar is down 35 or 40% from its recent high. All these things came down hard. So maybe Fed Chairman Bernanke is correct when he says this inflationary pressure that we're seeing is very transitory.
Well, let's hope he's right.
Yep. Well, he's got the button to move it. He can move the inflation where he wants it to move.
Yeah.
With the dollar and a lot of other different gizmos. You know, he's got kind of like a little, you know, he's got like a little counter. Just rolls it up, rolls it down every day, I guess. You know, more money in, more money out. So a couple other things here. So we saw that gasoline futures in New York climbed above $3.63 a gallon. Now, I'll share something with you. Today was the DOE numbers, and there was a bit of a draw on oil, but there was a massive drawdown compared to what was expected on gasoline, meaning that gasoline is being taken out of inventories after production and either being used or being stored somewhere else, but it's being brought down out of the general inventory, and that was extremely bullish. Now, mind you, oil was down, you know, 2 or 1 and something percent today, and it's moved down over the last several days down to 108 from 113. But it was, I mean, I was surprised how much gasoline inventories dropped.
Hmm. Yeah, that doesn't make a lot. Well, you know, we're approaching the summer, the driving season, although it's probably another month away from that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, a lot of these things we, by the way, just as a short side note here, a lot of these things that we talk about, like the economics and all the charts of maybe inventory data and what's happening in the economy, certain stocks, I post on thedisciplinedinvestor.com, the blog. That's where we kind of have some of the information for people to take a look at what we're doing. You know, we manage money, so, you know, and people want to know how we do it. I got a lot of emails saying, hey, Andrew, you manage money. How do I get to you? Just go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com. It tells you everything. There's a little video. You can see what's going on. You can find out more about how we manage money for our different strategies, and then you can see a little video, like a 10-minute video about that. So just a side note.
What do people pay when you manage their money for them?
As much as I can get.
That's what I figured.
different strategies. You know, we have a strategy that's what we call the global allocation. And depending on it depends on the account size.
Why would
and what
you go
we're
to
doing.
A money manager rather than just find some mutual fund prospectus that described it the exact same way?
And then just copy what they do?
No, just give your money to the mutual fund. Why would somebody use a money manager who's working day to day? I mean, aren't you just basically a mutual fund?
No. I mean, we don't think we are. I mean, first of all, if we have strategies, we use mutual funds, and we get institutional class mutual funds that most people can't get because of the size that we purchase. We use ETFs, we use low cost items, and we find and screen the managers through a very serious what we call fund sort.
How many people do you have working on a day-to-day?
We only have just two people working at us, because we have technology that is I built up over the last 20 years, technology that we used to have a lot more people, which I guess is the story with America, right?
I think it is, yes.
You know, we could incredible amounts of data through our systems we can analyze, and it automates it. I don't want to say it's automatic, but it creates the strategy for us. And but this stuff we built, obviously. So for years I've needed, you know, we had all these secretaries, we had all these people, and we don't need all that anymore. Everything's email, everything's online. One of the differences is that people can actually have transparency with some money managers like me, where clients have access to their own site, where they can see what we're doing. We talk about things every day. Their statements show them exactly what we own for them every day. Mutual funds, you find out every 3 months or so what they own at best. And then we also can move short and go long and be very nimble inside of markets where mutual funds don't usually do that. Mutual funds usually are just, you know, offshoots of the S&P 500. If you want to be in the S&P 500, go get a mutual fund. Go get an ETF. But if you want something where we can actually move in and out of something based on news, based on strategy, utilize options to hedge, go short silver inside of the portfolio, that's the kind of things we do.
And that's the end of today's commercial.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. So why do you think, getting back to the stocks I'm looking at, why do you think CBS went up over 7.8%, I think, today?
Earnings. What are you, on the seas? Just getting through the seas?
Yeah. It's like just everything is down except a few of these companies just jumped.
Yeah, earnings. Great earnings. They're seeing a large – because they're – let me ask you something. When's the last time you watched regular TV, not C-SPAN? It is chock full of advertisements. You can't get away from them. It's like and they, you know, this is you know, they time them together, all the stations, just to annoy the hell out of you.
Oh yeah, no. But, it's called a clock, yeah. And so everybody pretty much uses the same clock because it gets passed around from place to place. So at, you know, 10, you know, you have to do so many commercials, and so at the 10-minute mark, you'll have a break, and then they'll play six commercials, and then you'll have another break in 5 or 6, 7, 8 minutes, and you have play another 3, and then you play, then you have the half hour break where they play. I counted sometimes 20 commercials in some of these shows.
And
I write them down. It's like, wow, who could sit through these commercials? It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. So the thing is, and that's what they got TiVo for and all that, but the advertisers are still paying. But, you know, now it seems like there's a lot more advertisements. They're paying a lot, paying up. And their various properties with CBS has done very well, very, very well. So, I mean, that's the bottom line in CBS. I mean, that's what's happened. They have, the numbers came in really strong. Look at that trend. I mean, you're talking about from December
it's just like a rocket ship.
It's like doubled since December. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah. No, it actually is unbelievable.
Yeah. It's also the repurposement or the repurposing of content, which is unbelievable for these guys. Think about it. You know, once upon a time, they only had the TV, right? Now they have things like podcasts, where they can just clearly just repurpose the same information and throw even more advertising on it.
There's also some cross-marketing going on that I find peculiar and weird. For example, CBS has sold the 60 Minutes show to MSNBC for the 60 Minutes on MSNBC, which is basically a rerun.
On CNBC, by the way.
I'm sorry, it's CNBC. It's not MSNBC. Oh, okay. Right? Yeah. CNBC. Yeah. But CNBC is owned by NBC, which is a competitor. So I find that rather peculiar, and they also have 60 Minutes on the on various radio stations around the country, which is it works out quite well as an audio podcast or broadcast. And they're definitely repurposing a lot of product.
Yeah, I mean it's all over the place. Whether it's going to be XM satellite radio where you could listen to it, whether it's now, I think. Whether it's like Hulu or they're online, you know, you can go online and see most of these shows online. You just see commercials there. So they're getting you from every angle.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Well, I mean, I have the ABC player for my iPad. You see high-grade streaming video of the shows, of series, all of them. Hmm. It's amazing. I like it.
Yeah, well, it's definitely... to be honest about it, there's still 2 minutes of program to 1 minute of commercials. So you're essentially every hour you're getting 40 minutes and 20 minutes in an hour of commercials. It's just
a lot.
I think it's intolerable or intolerable. I rarely watch real time television nowadays because of the that
problem. Yeah, but the advertisers don't seem to care. I mean, no,
I don't know what they're thinking.
I don't know what they're thinking either. You know, and the beautiful thing about that is what I always found fascinating with podcasts, they want to know down to the click, who's clicking, where they're from and all that. They have no idea on TV who's watching. They just know it's in case.
And the joke is the podcasting, the CPM is lower. So they want more data in this. Well.
And then you got to put their banners on your site, and then you got to put all this and do this reporting. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well.
So the good news is that good news, bad news. China putting on smokers on notice that no more smoking in certain public areas. Now, do you know how many smokers are in China?
There's a joke there.
No joke. It's 300. They say I don't know how they counted this or whatever. 300 million smokers. 30% of all cigarette consumption of the world is China, and. We saw a statistic that I don't even remember the number. There is some ridiculous amount of cigarettes they smoke a year. It's like 1.5 trillion or something like that.
Hmm.
So the question is if they're going to be saying, hey, no more smoking in public areas and they're going to put a crackdown on smoking, is there an opportunity to like look at a company that maybe is a paper manufacturer, like a Schweizer Maudit or maybe a tobacco company like a Philip Morris, which is the international division of Altria Philip Morris. And we looked at that. We couldn't find anything significant because it seems that there's an official tobacco company in China.
Yeah.
The official cigarette company. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, really.
But I wonder if this is going to cut down on the cigarette consumption, into China. I'd probably say no. But
well, no, the Chinese are pretty good at going along with the program when their government tells them to do something.
Yeah, because it's not a good result when they don't.
Well, they're just kind of raised that way. I don't think it's so much that they're that freaked about, the punishment. But it's just like something you do. You're just obligated and you do it.
Well, I'm going to be there this summer, so I'll tell you if last time I was there, everybody smoked everywhere.
You know, I never noticed there was that much smoking in China. I've noticed it in parts of Northern Europe more, where it's annoying. Like, not so much nowadays, but 10 years ago, if you went to Denmark and went to any bar, there was no ventilation and everyone was smoking like a fiend, and it was an uncomfortable situation. You had to leave. In China, I never noticed it was that smoky.
Ashtrays on their table during dinner.
Yeah, well, that's...
They're all like huffing and puffing. They're taking a bite of their turkey and they're, taking a smoke break. It's kind of gross.
Yeah, well.
Oh, well.
What are you going to China for?
I'm going just vacation, Vietnam and China.
Ah, Vietnam. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Before I go to Vietnam, I'll have to brief you on what you have to do there.
Oh, yeah? I've heard a lot of interesting stories.
Are you going by yourself or the family?
Just my wife, myself, and another couple. Did you eat the snake? Just drink the blood and all that?
No, that's mostly in Snake Alley in Taiwan, that craziness. The thing about Vietnam is we don't realize until you get there. You want to shop for clothes, and they have a couple of kind of Macy's-like department stores that are kind of laughable. But they have it's an extremely artistic community, and they make certain items there that you have to plan on buying.
Oh.
Because it's like, holy crap, you'll never see anything like this stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
And amazing. I'm sure the prices are the prices were reasonable.
No, they're still reasonable. There's no way they're going to be bad. I mean, the pricing is ludicrous.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I was in Thailand a couple of years back, and the pricing was like, really? A dollar for that? That's not right. Yeah. This can't be right. You give somebody $5 as a tip, they follow you around for 3 days.
Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, I had a 30-minute massage for $3.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was totally ripping them off. And they're like, no, don't give me any more money. I'm like, they feel terrible.
Yeah.
So, anyway, India. India's having we've talked about India several times. They just raised rates again, and they're having a terrible inflation problem there. Terrible. Inflation is probably one of the worst areas in the BRIC areas in particular.
And but why is really, this?
No, it's just that, the population expansion, food costs. Now we have Tata Motors there, which was, what, two years ago? The middle class is up and coming, and they're just consuming everything. There's just, a lot of people there. The same thing is happening in China. Massive inflation because of, besides government stimulus and all that, the fact is that, you have prices going up, and you have a middle class that is emerging, and they're consuming. No longer, this is a little lame, but, no longer are they saying, okay, I'll just live what I have. They're looking out and seeing on TV and Facebook, hey, wait a minute, there's air conditioning, there's refrigerators, there's cars, there's a great life here. They want all of that. So they're going and buying things, and that's why you're getting incredible demand. That's the whole demand story for the last 10 years, or even more maybe, but 10 years or so from the emerging markets. It's just it's a nonstop giant Pac-Man.
Well, these things, they pay the price at some point.
Somebody does. Right now in China, the housing bubble looks like it's about to implode. Horrible numbers came out the last couple of days on the housing area in China.
Well, a lot of Chinese have bought, they're natural speculators, and they've bought the ones who can afford it. They bought their house, and then they bought three other houses, that they don't live in, and just on speculation, and I think this is going to kill them.
Speculation of what, though?
That the price of these things are going to go up, and it's an investment. They see it as an investment vehicle.
I mean, that's what happened here, obviously.
Much as it's happening there. I think their bubble is going to be really interesting.
Well, they're talking about it already. The housing prices are starting to come down, and they're starting to really move the wrong way now. And then you know what's on their hand. I mean, that's why China's trying to get ahead of the curve with the banks and increasing their reserve requirements, but. If it falls, it falls. It crashes quickly before, everybody talks about it, and then it just, boom.
So have you looked at the Google chart?
You're up to G's. Up to G's. All right. Where are you getting
ahead.
All these little things?
Yeah,
okay. Google. Okay. Let's look at that. It probably doesn't look so good. Oh, that was too many G's in my Google. G-O-O-G. Their earnings were not impressive. Let's see. I got it coming up. Yeah, that's a breakdown. We'll call it a breakdown. They're under their 200-day moving average. It looks it was at 642 in the beginning
of
the year.
It's also in a channel. Isn't it a downwards channel? It's going to like
Yeah, no question. That's a downtrend. That's more than a downtrend. Now you got also a situation occurring very shortly, it looks like, where your 50-day moving average, I don't know when this converges, but it's going to be soon unless something really remarkable happens. But your 50-day moving average is going to move below your 200-day moving average, which is, you know, there's a golden cross, and this is a, like kind of the kiss of death cross. This is a sell signal. They're below their 20-day average. They're below their 50-day average, below their 200-day average. And the only thing that's good is that the 200-day average is still sloping higher, but that's it. You know, it looks horrible. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that they just, you know, had a lot more expenses, and people are moving out of risk. Hmm. That was earnings. That was the earnings back a couple weeks, a week ago or so.
Yeah.
But let's go to the end of the alphabet. I'm just guessing here. Let's look at X, U.S. Steel.
Yeah, there's an interesting company.
So X came out with earnings, and everybody was all, you know, excited and all things. They upgraded, and then they whatever. They were 64 in March. Now they're 46.
Yeah, it looks like this chart, of all the charts, this really is a bad-looking chart.
Yeah, it's a head and shoulders chart where the right shoulder is below the left shoulder, which is not good. See, the left shoulder is about 60 back in beginning of 2011.
Yeah.
You got the head that's right there in mid-February. You got the right shoulder, which is April 28th or so. And then you broke down, and now it's looking pretty horrible.
Yeah, and you're through the bottom of the Bollinger Band. You've got a channel. It's just like everything that could be bad is bad.
Yep. It just looks horrible. I mean, there's a lot of stocks that, you know, it's amazing to me that the S&P, the Dow in particular, has held up so well. But everybody's rotating out of all the speculation, the commodity plays, the natural resources. They're just moving over to more defensive. It is absolutely clear on a chart. Now, I don't know how long this lasts, but healthcare, staples, and the defensive names in general have been really performing incredibly well. I mean, I'll give you an example. So let me give you an example of exactly opposite of what you just saw. Okay, so you just saw technology, and that would be the growth orientation, right? Look at Procter & Gamble, PG.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
It's like an upside-down Google.
Yeah.
You know, it broke down back in February, and then it came all the way down, and now it's just flying up. It's almost exactly opposite.
Yeah.
You know, so you look at some of the staples. Look at, look at a company. Let's think of a health company, a BMY. I don't even know what the exact stock looks like. Yeah, look at BMY. Since March.
Wow.
You know, ABT, or better yet, look at XLH. I think it's XLH. Is that it? No, that's not it. XL, I always forget this one. Health.
BMY looks terrific. XLH yeah. is nothing.
No, it's, I'll tell you which one it is. It's XL. Mm-hmm. It's an X, I know that. I always forget this one. It's the healthcare. Oh, where is it? It's an ETF. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Here's one that we own. I'll give you another example of something we own that, you know, looks, you know, you look at like any of these healthcare companies, and I mean, you can think of all the different hospitals. I mean, look at Humana, although I think that just broke down recently. HUM.
It didn't really break down.
But look what it looks like. It's unbelievable looking.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I bought that last year.
Right. And they just started moving. They just started moving around. I can't believe I can't find this healthcare thing that I'm looking for. Oh, well.
Price earnings is 11.
Yeah, there's a whole different situation going on here. Look, you know what? Oh, you can probably see this that I'm looking at. The healthcare index. I don't know what you're looking at. You looking at stock charts or Yahoo?
I'm at FinViz, actually.
Oh. You know, all of these healthcare companies are just incredible. You know, just really, again, it's a whole different look at the environment of, you know, technology, and growth versus, you know, the staples, you know, just any of the, you know, international paper, you know, look at IP. Again, the same thing.
Wow, that's a nice chart.
Yeah, I mean, any of the staples have really done very well. There's another one, we own PRGO. It just rolled over a little bit. Look at that.
PRGO, I just hold on a second. Got RGO, PRGO. Perigo? What are they? Wow, that's a nice chart, too.
Natural. The generics.
Generics, everybody's talking about, that's going to be the big investment. So this is probably a good company to, yeah. Everyone's talking about generics because I was listening to one of the shows and some expert came on saying, well, you know, there's all these patents are running out. Put your money in generics.
Right. And then another one, I'll just show you this last one. It's like Humana. It's what do you call it? It's a company that does, what's the word I'm looking for here? Medical, prepaid medicals, you know, medical, HS, HealthSpring. Look at this bugger. Just broke out last, 2 weeks ago. Hmm. Came down a little bit today, but look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole different thing than the other side. You know what we bought this week? You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. You're really not going to believe it.
Yeah?
You're holding on?
Bin Laden Enterprises.
No, even you're going to like this better. Trust me. Crocs.
Oh, well.
We bought Crocs on the breakup. C-R-O-X.
Crocs. This is what you made all your... You made a killing on this stock when it was at 80 and collapsed.
I know. It has never, ever showed up on our... quantitative screen that we use, our main one, and it showed up. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. It just showed up last week.
Why?
It just meets all the criteria. It's shocking. I was like, this can't be. Please tell me this is wrong. So
you,
I said, you know what?
You're the negative shoe guy.
Yeah, negative shoe guy. The shoe. Today was all about shoes, by the way. Look at DECK, D-E-C-K. I mean, it fell off a cliff recently, but... it was up, what, 3.5% today. Everybody wanted shoes today.
Hmm.
The market goes south, and everybody's buying shoes. You know? Anyway.
So let's
it's
look at our stocks. We got a few to check out.
Okay.
I think we're at that point. We need to get that out of the way.
Uh-huh. Okay. We know that Goldman got stopped out, right?
I think it was held a record, though.
Oh, no question about that. No question.
Almost a year.
That's pretty amazing. It was like May to May.
Yeah, May to May.
May to May. And let's see. So a lot of things, a lot of the shorts that were kind of iffy have come up dramatically, right? You saw that, for example, let's say we had Legg Mason short. That was off by like 8%, and now it's, you know, up 1.5%. Synaptics was going the wrong way. Now it's up. Let me find some other shorts. And GE's not done anything, but I think it was off pretty well, and then it got whatever. The yen, I'm very surprised with the yen. We're going to have to stop that out very shortly, but I'm very surprised with the yen. We actually just entered the yen again, the short again recently, and you know the yen is tremendously overvalued. But it's a safety trade right now, and everybody's going to it. And that's a real problem for Japan. That's why they have, you know, this G7 backing. So... But everything, Adobe's looking great. Albemarle came out with earnings the other day and just, I mean, skyrocketed. IBM is almost at an all-time high again. Alexion. Metro PCS came out with earnings yesterday. They were up 10% yesterday.
Yeah. I should have actually invested in that one.
The beauty. Chesapeake came out with earnings. I don't think it was good today. It was down 3%. Qualcomm's holding in there. Acme Packet actually has been moving around pretty dramatically. It was as high as, I think that may have stopped out. I think as high as 82. So what was that? You're probably close to stopping out right about now. Cena, even though it got hit a couple days, it's still up 53%. I got to look at that stop out too, what the exact price was. OpenText is it's just hanging in there. Your Camac Energy, what do you think? Are we going to stop it yet?
Why bother?
Still got a chance. I mean, you know, what do they say? If you liked it at 2, you'll love it at 139. It's a chance.
Yeah.
So, you know, we reshow. Let's just kind of go through the other ones.
International Coal.
Beautiful. Being bought out. That's it. We should.
I think we should.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Buyout 30% over, 35% over. I think we got to stop that out only because it's not going to go anywhere.
Right. No, right? It's done because it's so that's the offering.
Let me highlight this here. Let me highlight this with our little stop deal. This is John's pick. That was a beauty. That was an absolute beauty. Okay, that's highlighted. And I'll put the price in here of 14. Okay. All right. Let's see. Rubicon, we recommended that. Actually, I think some of the things we saw overnight are going to pop Rubicon tomorrow. There's a couple of different companies that came out with similar types of products. First of all, the solar companies did very well recently, but they do something a little bit different. But IPGP, them, and there was a company tonight that came out with earnings, and I'm trying to remember what company it was. PPO, Polypure. Mm. And they came out with, and they were up 12% after hours. So that's going to probably rub off on Rubicon. The silver short we did last week, remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's the winner of – that's the pick of – that's so – I think that is one of the great picks of the – it's pick of the month.
Pick of the month. It's up 46%.
In one day.
Well, in one week.
Well, one week.
It's actually about 3 days. That just kept on going and going and going.
Yeah.
But that was that parabolic move. And actually, Barron's picked it up and wrote about my comments in Barron's last week. And but now it seems, like I said, everybody's on one side of that ship all of a sudden. Everybody's like, oh, wow, silver's going to fall. So I'm thinking, I'll be honest with you.
You're going long now.
Going long. There's a couple of different reasons why. We did some on the disciplineinvestor.com.
Here it is. Okay, ultra silver. Okay, you're going long.
Yeah, we're going to flip to the other side here. Now, what's interesting to note
here. How can they have it down here is mobile gaming.
Oh, it's just a copy.
Is this some sort of a message?
It's there you go. It's off now if you refresh it. And actually, this one, yeah, that one's right. The deal is that if it can hold its 50-day, we actually targeted that this right about here would be its support point, which is the 50-day moving average. And even though we saw a couple different margin increases, if it holds this 50-day average, it has a chance to see a nice little pop up. Now, I don't know how long it's going to last, frankly, but I do think that if it does hold right here, which it is holding, even after the information came out about the margin, that there's an opportunity to, you know, see a decent bounce here on that. You know, it's 25% or 24% lower than it was at the high silver. So that's number one. Number two, if it doesn't, it's going to fail very quickly, and it's going to probably be about another 8% down for the next support point, which is hard support at that point. So I don't think silver is going to collapse down to zero, obviously. And I think there's a big demand still by the central banks. As a matter of fact, Mexico came out with an enormous announcement about gold purchases this last few months. Enormous purchase. Hmm. All these banks are – central banks trying to diversify away from the dollar. What the – why not, right?
No, seems like a buy low, sell high issue.
Yeah, so we're going to flip it over. So let me ask you how we're going to do this. Should we stop this one out? I mean, we can't have two run at the same time. They're just going to
– you could.
I mean, you have to. Why would you have to? I'm saying sell that position.
I mean,
you could
have them both running at the same time as a hedge.
But then it goes nowhere.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean?
They operate. I mean, the way that the ultras work, they crazy little fluctuations make them go up and down sometimes and awkwardly.
Actually, that's interesting. We did a study. If you short the long, let me think about this for a second. How do we do this? We shorted the long and bought the short. We shorted the short and bought the long. And that's what it was. There was some weird thing you could do there, and there's kind of a little game you could play, and
yeah,
it actually
like
works out.
Sort of like a straddle.
Leakage.
Like some sort
it's
of
like,
leakage. That's it. Would be
yeah,
great.
It leaks. It leaks. They always leak the negative correlated ones. So you want to sell those and buy the others.
We'll stop it out. Just kill it.
Yeah.
Even though it's against the rules the way we've been playing this game.
Yeah, but I'm saying this is a trading situation. This is different. This is a different situation.
You're going to swap. Okay.
I'm going to swap. We're going to go from short to long.
Maybe I should do that with this Camac.
Yeah, you could buy the what would you buy?
No, nothing. I'm going to stay with where I'm staying at 139.
You're holding your ground. I congratulate you for that. And the other one that I want to talk about, I mentioned several times, but I never put it down. I don't think I ever put it down on the chart. It's Glu Mobile.
You ran this before.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, we're
running
it again.
This is like a favorite of yours.
Yeah, I like it. You know, they came out with good earnings, which is actually negative earnings, but they didn't lose that as much. They had decent numbers of income, and I'm still waiting for the day that Zynga goes public, and it's going to be I think it's going to be very good for this company. They keep on making games. They have some of the top games.
So you think there's going to be a psychological spillover?
Yeah, I think there has been already, And I think if you look at the data that came out, I think it was yesterday, about how much games are going to be sold and the revenues from gaming on these various tablets, it's enormous. Mm. Enormous.
All right.
And they make some sweet games, let me tell you. They make the World Series of Poker for the iPhone and the iPad and a few others. They also make there's a brand new one called – I forgot what it's called. But if you look up Glue Mobile and on one of your devices, you'll see their games. They're absolutely beautiful.
All right. I think it's a good pick.
Any picks from you?
You know, I was thinking of picking Intel just because I think it's on a – it may be catching –
Wait. You said ARMH.
Yeah, I think Intel too. Maybe let's pick them both.
You can do whatever you want.
I'll take both of them.
Taking both. Okay. Two for the guy on the left. Okay, let me write this down. ARMH and INTC. Yeah, Intel's finally seeming to get out of its own little way there.
Yeah, of course, then again, you know, it doesn't do this for long. I mean, I've noticed I've never actually owned Intel, but I've always talked about it when I was doing a lot of stuff in CNBC and elsewhere. I always say, you know, Intel seems like a great company that people should invest in. I did pick an AMD on a MarketWatch column once. Recently, about a year ago, telling people that it might be a good buy at two, which I think I hit that one. But Intel's always been kind of dead money, so I'm always waiting for it to.
It finally broke out. It finally started moving. If you look at the chart, it finally broke out here.
Take a shot at it. Maybe go up to 30.
The other thing is, I was on a conference call tonight with Atmel. It's a company that makes. It's really the number one producer of touch screen and some components for non Apple iPad. Devices, and they also make things for the car and automobiles and a variety of other things. They were pretty impressive with their outlook. I mean, first of all, there's a definite supply problem in Japan, which they're not hit with, so they may get some other things. But aside from just Atmel, I mean, the numbers that they're showing and the interest from various companies and the amount of orders that are coming in, these guys have booked a tremendous amount of inventory because the tablets, smartphone devices are just their orders are pouring in, and they're getting inquiries continually.
Look at that stock. You should have picked this one at four.
Well, that would be good. Yeah, that would be nice. Let's see. Atmel? Yeah, we have it for a little while here. And I actually added to it on the – it broke down after hours tonight. But, yeah, it's gone up and down. But then it broke out here at the 14 level, and now it kind of turned down with – it didn't actually break down too badly if you think about it with all the breakdowns of these technology plays the last few days. It was at about 14, I think right about 14 after hours. But some of the analysts were very constructive on their comments. So, I don't know, we'll see. But I'm more so about the tablet and the next generation of devices. I thought it was a really cool discussion. So, that's all I have.
All right. Well, that should do it then.
Okay. On my way to Jersey.
What's going on there?
I got a bar mitzvah.
Oh.
Got a family bar mitzvah this weekend, so we're all going hopping up to Jersey this weekend.
Well, that's a short flight for you anyway.
Yeah, it is. So I'm glad we had a good connection, and I always enjoy speaking with you.
So next Tuesday we'll try to do it again. If we can't get a good connection, we'll do it on Wednesday again.
Yeah, and then also your new show, where do you go to get the new show?
Is it X3 with the number 3, x3show.mevio.com. We got three guys all the time. I've changed the model.
Who is it?
Andrew Eisner, who is a really great guy for these shows, and Joe Ingo, who's a super Apple tech guy. And we discussed the news. There's the three of us, and I don't book new people, and people say, why can I be on the show now? You know, they had their chance when I was doing the other shows, and they couldn't make it.
Right.
So I'm not booking any. Now it's just three guys. And
is this video or is it audio?
Yeah, it's video.
Oh,
it's
video?
Audio too. Yeah, it's a video thing.
So what about on the Dvorak RSS thing that you have?
What about it?
Is that there too?
I don't know if it's there yet. That's a good question. Channeldvorak.com. It will be. If it's not, it'll eventually be on there.
Okay, very good.
On there.
Excellent. Awesome.
All right, see you next week.
All right, I look forward to it. I'm going to go watch one of your videos now.
Okay. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.